It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, you came in your convertible today. Are you a little chilly?
It's a little chilly. I just couldn't wait any longer.
You couldn't wait any longer. I had to break out that beautiful red sports car. Hey, maybe things aren't going so well in people's marriages today. We are talking about marriage and what you have termed distance in marriage, and kind of a refresher course on some things you've talked about before, but it's always good information.
Yeah, we've talked about this a number of times. And really, when you're doing marriage counseling, this is always at the core of it, you know, people drifting apart and, you know, not satisfied with the relationship. People come in to fix the process. And we've talked before about how the process is based on the purpose. Process follows purpose. And so a lot of times this is, well, most of my clients are Christians. So I was going to say this is particularly important for Christian marriages. But of course, we consider Christian marriages to be what marriage is about, mm-hmm. a biblical marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but even Christians have difficulties, don't they? I think the divorce rate is almost equal. So people come in, and they usually come in, they are quite distanced in their relationship. Dislike, we've talked about liking, and
just don't like each other anymore.
They just don't like each other anymore.
How soon does that set in? I always think maybe somebody who's been married a long time maybe doesn't like each other, or maybe it's the first 5-10 years that.
Well, it's gradual, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so people, if they haven't done anything about it, then the longer you're together, the further you drift apart, mm-hmm. you know. This idea of disdain or dislike, I think in the secular world, and in a lot of Christian marriage counseling too, I think this is unfortunately seen as kind of the point of no return. Mm. Once people have lost their affection one for one another, it's nearly impossible to get it back. And that's why I tell people, when you're healing your marriage, you can't be sure of what the future is going to be. It's not like you're going back to anything. You're going on to something, and you really have got to refocus. You've got to focus on the purpose of marriage, and you've got to kind of get away from this, what I think is a Western idea of romance and just that being the center mm-hmm. and the foundation of the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's got to be your purpose. Mm-hmm. So we talked about distancing with couples, and distancing doesn't just happen in behaviors. People typically focus on the behaviors. He said this, she says that, he did this, she did that. On the behaviors, but the distancing really begins in your thoughts first, and then your thoughts follow your beliefs. And so we have this kind of an equation of, behaviors follow emotions, emotions follow beliefs. And sometimes those beliefs are obscure, but in changing our behaviors, we have to change our emotions. We have to change our beliefs. Mm. So BEB, that's something to remember, behaviors, emotions, or beliefs, emotions, behaviors, beliefs, emotions, behaviors. So my behavior follows my emotion, follows my belief. Questioning our beliefs is then important in trying to heal distance in relationship. I have to question my beliefs about that, say that other person. But questioning beliefs can be a vulnerable thing.
Is this something that you get couples to talk about in a marriage counseling session then? Would that be a question you'd ask? Well, what do you believe about this subject or that subject?
About the person.
About the person, yeah. What do you believe?
What do you believe about your spouse?
Yeah, right. And will they talk that way?
It's difficult. Beliefs can be obscure because, people don't typically think of what they believe about their spouse. And, beliefs can beliefs are often a part of a defense mechanism. The beliefs have a couple of things that they do. They help us to make – belief systems help us to make sense of our world experience. Mm. And they also include us in certain groups, like, for example, political groups or peer groups. And so that's part of our belonging needs. So when couples are – distancing and they need to question their beliefs, that can be a vulnerable thing. And they may not know what their beliefs about the other person are, but a lot of our belief systems or our belief systems, I would guess, we have our stated beliefs. Certainly people of faith have stated beliefs, but we behave in a way that we have beliefs that we're probably not even aware of. And so that comes out in like married couples and how they can be condescending or disrespectful or harsh toward one another. Miscommunications. Oftentimes I'll talk with people. I have married couples. One of the things we do when we come in for a session, particularly if I've worked with them for, you know, a few sessions, they'll come in with maybe an argument that they've had or a complaint. And I'll say, do you have an example? And so they'll think, well, the other day we had this argument. So we'll go through the argument and we'll look at kind of the background of the argument, you know, what happened within, you know, days. Because arguments typically come out of these beliefs that are, you know, obscure. It starts with the way I feel about the person, and that determines a lot of times the way I interpret their actions. Say, for example, a person might say, a spouse, a husband might tell the wife, you know, okay, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you're fixing the food. I appreciate you, you know, doing the laundry. And the wife might be sitting there just thinking, here he goes again, trying to look good in front of the counselor or something like that. And this is based on a belief that she has about him, and she may not even know that she has that particular belief about him. The illustration that I am just giving here of the husband, well, it actually goes back further, because the reason he's having to say that in the first place is because maybe something's happened, you know, previously. So it's not just husband and wife. It's the shoe going on either foot. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've been talking about, I've been seeing recently, that is a good way to approach this is, what are my assumptions about my spouse?
Mm.
So Mr. or Mrs., your name goes here, would say, I haven't given a lot of thought to my assumptions.
Okay.
That's what assumptions are. The right. Assumptions are my behaviors.
Yeah, what's the difference between assumptions and beliefs?
Yeah. And so assumptions are expressed in behaviors and emotions that we have when we haven't given a lot of thought to our beliefs. And so, but a lot of times talking about beliefs is nebulous. All of them don't have narratives. Say, for example, beliefs that drive little personal idiosyncrasies, like talking, moving your hands when you talk, or the way people chew food, or everything is a behavior and it has a belief, but a lot of times the beliefs don't necessarily have a narrative, and so that's why they can be very obscure. The way we behave, can say, well, it's my way my parents did it, or it turns into, you know, the way I do it because, I've grown up that way. I don't see any reason to change. And so the idea of beliefs being part of a defense mechanism means that it's going to be difficult, uncomfortable, say, for me to change my the way that I feel about this person, or because it's, again, part of the defense mechanism that gives me explains for me my experience in life.
What about if your beliefs have to do with things like, I can't change this about me. I can't change, you know, this is something that I just am, mm-hmm. this way. I mean, that's a pretty strong belief.
Mm-hmm.
I would think you run into that a lot, though, but that's just the way I am.
So,
you know,
yeah, it's an underlying, I guess, an underlying assumption that, you know, mm-hmm. this is the way I am. I can't change. I would say, well, some of those things are, we can get away with, but God has put us in a relationship to change a lot of those very things that we feel like,
right.
This is just the way I am.
Got to have that third person in the marriage,
yeah.
God, that
yeah.
third cord strand. Because
well, that's,
if you can't appeal to that, then you're,
right.
you're in a world
and
of hurt.
That's the whole purpose aspect of it, mm-hmm. and that is where a lot of times the process goes sideways and people don't know how to fix it if they have the wrong purpose in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, assumptions about the other person, it might be, you know, some of the assumptions that we might ask ourselves about, or just these would be examples. So these may be, if people are wondering, you know, how would I question my assumptions? You might think, well, you know, do I think, say, for example, do I take it for granted that my spouse is less intelligent? Now, I would never say that, but do I, is that an assumption that I have? Putting thought into these things, the person that says, that's just the way I am, I can't change, but have you really put thought into the way you are? You know, apologies a lot of times are given in lieu of change. A lot of people would, I remember my dad, say, for example, he was, he apologized whenever there was an argument or whenever he felt that he had hurt someone's feelings, right, or done
something. Even if he hadn't been the person who really caused the problem.
Even if he hadn't, but he would apologize. But in his apology, I don't think there was ever really, until later in life when he had a dynamic, recommitment or experience to the Lord, the, you know, spiritual experience with the Lord, and that can be a huge factor in getting us back on track. But I don't believe that he ever thought that he could or actually maybe should change the way he was. He felt that things should change, but he wasn't sure. I don't think he was never convinced that it was him, he himself that should change. And as my wife and I were parenting, and one time my daughter said to me, "Dad, you always apologize, but you never change." And when she said that, I remembered my father doing the same thing, and I thought, "Yeah, that's the responsibility is to change, not just to apologize. You know, we say we're sorry for something, but we have to have a plan for change." And one of these, one of the things that we have to do to change is really think about our assumptions and think about. So do I assume that my spouse is more or less intelligent? You know, if I assume that she's more intelligent, that could be a problem because it could be intimidating. Or if I feel she's less intelligent, or more or less courageous, more or less cultured, more or less gifted.
One that I think of too is you can't handle the truth. You know, this belief that a person can't handle the truth about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just a movie line, but I think a lot of times people are hiding in their marriage because they don't think their spouse can handle something,
or they lack the communication or the patience to communicate in such a way. You know, we have to meet one another at kind of a common level. I think that when God puts us into a relationship, and if you're married, if you're a married believer, generally, you have to believe that God's put you in that relationship, and I guess I have to qualify that. These physically abusive relationships, where somebody's getting beat up, or we need to call in the church on these kinds of behaviors, and there needs to be some consequences to get people's attention. You know, the consequences aren't.
More than calling the cops?
Well, I think I guess you have to call the police if the church can't take care of it. Unfortunately, that's part of it. But I think that in a lot of situations, if the pastor were to get involved and say and address the situation, but a lot of times it's just people are impatient in the communication process, and that gets us back to the assumptions. What do I assume? You know, assuming, changing your assumptions, changing your beliefs about a person, and that also is like changing your beliefs about yourself. It's not just what do I believe about the other person, because a lot of times what I believe about the other person, since that's part of my defense mechanism, it reflects on what I feel about myself. A lot of times we are threatened by other people because we feel inferior, or sometimes we have to devalue other people and assume that they're less intelligent because we feel inferior. And so at a basically, or what I'm saying is that the step forward is not just having these assumptions or having beliefs that don't have narratives that I'm not sure of, but actually if there's a problem in the marriage, it gets back to how do I think about that person. And so we want to turn around our distancing behaviors by changing our thinking. Again, behaviors follow emotions. Emotions follow beliefs.
Distance in marriage, how to repair this. If you're going through a struggle in your marriage or you know somebody who is, Daniel would love to help you. How do people find out more about you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also have the BibleBasedCounselor.com website, and that you find all these radio shows there and podcasts. Also can contact me through that website. And my office is Edmonds Kirkland, and also doing probably half of my counseling is Zoom because people have figured out that that can be very convenient.
Sure.
If it's
Okay, well, we'll get back to more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is talking about distance in marriage, how to repair this. And a lot of it has to do with assumptions. What does BEB stand for again?
That's behaviors or beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And that's kind of the chain that how these every behavior is a response to an emotion, and every emotion is a response to a belief. So behaviors are responses to emotions, responses to belief. And a lot of times, as I've said in here, a lot of times the beliefs don't have narratives. They can be idiosyncrasies or just my wife and I had a situation this past week that involved sitting on hold with a phone company or something like that. You know, people get these things come up and they're just really frustrating. You can be on hold for a long, long time.
That's like my worst thing.
And then, you know,
I always let my wife do that.
Yeah. And during those times, the emotions really get raw. And boy, some real arguments can come out of that, and some real division in the marriage. And I was talking to somebody the other day about this. It comes up a lot where it's a very understandable frustration that's happening in the relationship. Something like that. It involves some exterior pressure that comes in, finances, technology, something, and somebody's just been. Dealing with it and frustrated by it. Maybe you've gotten disconnected several times and somebody pushed a wrong button and you're trying to get some answers. And then the spouse comes in and says, what are you doing? We're going to be late or something like that. And so there's this emotional explosion and there's this big argument. And for some couples, these things, an argument like that can last days. Or weeks.
Just because you were late.
Instead of seconds, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of that has to do with underlying assumptions and beliefs, because the difference between an argument like that lasting 15 seconds and lasting 15 hours or 15 days are the underlying assumptions that you have about that other person that won't allow you to heal. Mm. And so that's what we've been talking about, and that's what I talk about with people, trying to get past this disdain and dislike that's taken root that a lot of counselors would call the point of no return. Once you've gotten there, this is when, like a lot of pastors kind of go, boy, I don't know, you just need God. Mm-hmm. Or a counselor will say that, or the secular counselor will say,
you think people can come back from this, though? So what are the keys
it really requires a refocus. It requires a focus on the purpose of marriage. We have to, and you know, looking down, we don't know what the future is going to bring. So coming back and learning to like one another and challenge, having new thoughts about one another, we don't know what the path's going to look like. There's an Western expectation. I think it's more of a Western. It's becoming more global as cultures begin to blend around the globe. But it's was predominantly Western idea of this romantic love that was the basis of our relationship. Somebody said the other day they were talking to a friend and this kind of they thought it was funny in a way. The friend was concerned about the marriage of a child or a younger relative and said, you know, I don't know what's happening in their marriage. It was planned and everything. So this is like a marriage from another culture that was a planned marriage. And in this person's mind, because it was a planned marriage is why it shouldn't have any trouble.
But
in our culture, we would say that was probably the basis of it because it should have been romantic.
That really goes counter to our Western ideas of marriage.
But part of the healing process in these Western marriages is we have this expectation and the disparity between the expectation and where we believe we are is the frustration. So somehow we've got to get refocused. And so we've got to get back to, you know, what was the purpose of marriage and what have we missed in that? And if moving forward, there are parts of our expectations that get left behind, you know, what do we have then to look forward to? And I want to go back into something that I've hit on a number of times because, you know, I say in marriage counseling that process follows purpose. People come in for counseling on the process, but in order to have the proper process, in order for the process to make sense, we have to understand the purpose. So I am going to just say go into a little bit of the purpose here and try to articulate it clearly for people. You know, the question would be, you know, why would we heal at all? Why should we heal? Because again, secular counseling, once we get past this point, secular counseling, a lot of other counselors would just throw up their hands and say, I think you're better off just to legally separate, or maybe you should get separate houses for a while and just see what will happen. This is kind of the counselor's way of saying, I'm stumped. You know, you're on your own. So why even change? Because we have three choices. Basically, we can be content living in separate worlds. You could either separate, live in separate homes, and stay married because, you know, the Bible doesn't want us to divorce, which raises the question: well, what is marriage? Is it just two people with the state license?
Maybe two different bedrooms.
Yeah. Two different worlds, you know, his interests, her interests. They get along well with their friends and their buddies golfing or going out and, you know, different things like that. And when they come back together, they just keep their distance. That's one option. Just continue to fight and say, you know, this is the way we are. We laugh about it now, but we just keep fighting.
Some people seem comfortable with that. I know people who bicker constantly, and it seems to just be their way.
Yeah. And then the other would be, you know, well, you know, let's just, you know, divorce. It'd be better for everyone. Or we can refocus on the purpose. And so I want to suggest the purpose here. This is biblical. I don't have the scriptures here, but I've done a lot of thinking on this and doing some writing on it now. And the marriage relationship has four basic purposes that I've identified. The first purpose is that it exposes our personality. And what I mean by personality is how we interact with other persons. In doing that, it exposes our defense mechanisms because our personality is a defense mechanism. I interact with people. I keep people at various distances so that I'll feel safe and secure. So being in a relationship like marriage where, you know, the paradox or the irony of God putting two human beings together, and in the scripture it says, it's not good for man to live alone. I'll make for him an opposite. And so the irony of God requiring or wanting opposites to dwell together and thinking that it's going to be romantic and peaceful and calm and just, you know. So this horizontal relationship, it exposes our defense mechanisms, our pride and our shame and our fear. Now, in light of Scripture, this is number two, in light of Scripture, the marriage then exposes our true relationship with God or lack of relationship with God, because we understand that these horizontal problems also reflect a vertical problem. Mm-hmm. So it exposes our relationship with God. Thirdly, it provides us a practicable means for addressing our faults, because now we can, you know, a lot of times when we're dealing just directly with God, we think he's winking at some of our faults because we can't really see his face and he can't really, you know, grab us by the collar and shake us, but our spouse can. And so we don't get away with it. We don't get a pass. And so it gives us a practicable means to deal with those things. And then mm-hmm. fourthly, as we're dealing with those things and bringing healing in our relationship, and this is the ultimate purpose of our marriage, was to minister to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Ephesians, I think it's 5, or maybe possibly 4, that, you know, the body edifies itself by that which every joint supplies, and a joint is a relationship, by that which every mm-hmm. relationship applies according to the working of the Spirit of God in the individual. Mm-hmm. So those are basically the four. It exposes it horizontally, exposes it vertically, gives us a means of working these things out. So they need to be worked out. And then fourthly, to minister to the body of Christ.
And maybe mentor other couples who are struggling.
That is part of it. I think that's part of the ministry to the body of Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So distances in marriage can be healed, but it takes some work. And if you need work on your marriage, or you know somebody who does, Daniel specializes in marriage counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find these radio shows, many years of them at this point. Offices, Kirkland Edmonds, also Zoom for your convenience.
Okay. Yeah. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.